Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q4 2016 IFRS Financial Results Conference Call of ADVA Optical Networking. This call is being recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I now hand over to Mr. Steffen Rettenberger, ADVA Optical Networking Senior Vice President, Marketing and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and a warm welcome from my side. This earnings call builds on a presentation which is available for download in PDF format from our homepage under www.advaoptical.com in the About Us/Investor Relations section. Should you not have the presentation in front of you may want to access it on the conference calls page in the financial results section of our investor relations website. Before we will lead you through the presentation, as always, please be informed that this presentation contains forward-looking statements with words such as believes, anticipates, and expects to describe expected revenues and earnings, anticipated demand for optical networking solutions, internal estimates, and liquidity. These factors are discussed in greater detail in the risk report section of our annual report 2016. Please also be reminded that we provide consolidated pro forma financial results in this presentation solely as a supplemental financial information to help the financial community make meaningful comparisons of our operating results from one financial period to another. This pro forma information is not prepared in accordance with IFRS and should not be considered as a substitute for historical information presented in accordance with IFRS. We will target to limit this con call to 60 minutes. As usual, Brian will start and provide a business update and outlook. Then Uli will talk us through our Q4 2016 and our 2016 annual financials. And finally, we will have sufficient time for your questions, which we will be happy to answer. Brian, please go ahead with the business update.
Thank you, Steffen. So let us start with the business update and outlook and move to page four, Q4 2016 in review. Revenues rose by 14.6% versus the previous year to 128 million. This result is within our guidance corridor. Q4 pro forma operating income was euro 9 million or 7% of revenues, at the top end of guidance between 4 and 7% of revenues, helping us post our 12th consecutive quarter with year-on-year growth. We have also consistently met revenue and profitability guidance during this period. We posted continued financial strength with cash and cash equivalents, as well as net liquidity at euro 84.9 million and euro 25.5 million, respectively. Our focus on open connectivity solutions for data center interconnect applications continues to deliver results and supported our record year with euro 566.7 million revenues for the full fiscal year, giving us 28.2% year-on-year annual growth from 2015 to 2016. Much of this growth came from the ICP sector, whereby the revenue contribution from our ICP customers for the full year was an average close to 25%. As this segment was weak in Q4, this also contributed to our slower annual growth figures in Q4 when compared quarter-on-quarter from an annual perspective, and our decline from Q3. Page number five. So what do our prospects for Q1 2017 look like? Our results and our forecasts demonstrate further expected growth. At the midpoint of our guidance, we will achieve close to 15% annual growth. Our forecast is supported by the exponential growth of the cloud, which continues to drive demand for open connectivity solutions, creating further expansion opportunities in DCI and metro core applications. In addition, we see stronger RFP activity in the cloud access space and very helpful cross-selling opportunities between ex-Overture and traditional ADVA accounts, which will provide further opportunities for our expanded Ethernet access portfolio. From a product perspective, we see our FSP 3000 Cloud Connect ramping, Ensemble software architecture gaining traction, and our Oscilla Quartz portfolio resonating well with many Tier 1 accounts as a solid basis for 2017. And finally, our strong markets, our execution, more software products, and tight control of operational expenses will result in increasing profitability in 2017. Update on growth drivers, page 6, they are fully intact. OpenSea strengths in a number of applications and markets that will continue to add to the optical networking bandwidth demands driving an expanding market. In the cloud services segment, Cloud Bellwether's Amazon Web Services, AWS, and Microsoft Commercial Cloud are now exceeding an annualized $20 billion run rate with projections for continued rapid growth as more sophisticated services are offered and it becomes that much easier for enterprises to move from a private cloud to a hybrid model or even full public cloud infrastructure. The RAN market is moving into post-4G generations and 5G is now being planned. Initial test beds, infrastructure, and completely new networking architectures are being developed in order to meet the stringent needs of next-gen latency requirements from autonomous driving, scale challenges of the Internet of Things network, as well as integrated timing capabilities within the transport layer. This all requires new investments. In addition, centralizing architectures with scaled BBUs will drive more optical networking bandwidth, including front haul. Furthermore, video has continued to mandate ever more bandwidth as new standards evolve, such as 4K and now even 8K standards. Creates a cycle which is actually ramping faster than existing networking technologies can keep up with. This promises incremental revenue for CSPs, communication service providers, and further investment in advanced optical networking technologies. And finally, the web scale network builds. These will reshape optical networks around the data center paradigm, even pushing optical networks deep into the heart of the data center, creating new markets and opportunities for our technology platforms. The optical networking market is on track to reach $18 billion by 2020, and when you add other opportunities such as NFV, a multi-billion dollar opportunity within the next years, Sync and Timing, and Carrier Ethernet, we have a market closer to $20 billion, which continues to grow as bandwidth and latency needs require our latest technologies and ever more scaled and more powerful networks. Page 7. This market environment gives us a solid basis for more growth and profitability. When coupled with a complete upgrade of every product in our product portfolio, we have a huge opportunity to connect, extend, and assure the cloud for new customers, allowing us to grow with the market, as seen from the last slide, market growth, and at the same time, win new market share. This will support further strong performance and growth. More specifically, we are now starting to ramp our FSP 3000 Cloud Connect solutions, as seen by the bookings of double-digit millions of orders in Q4 2016. We are still challenged with the ramp-up of manufacturing, but this is within the standard challenges of bringing on cutting-edge technologies and ramping growth with these new technologies within a very short period of time. For our carrier customers, we are bringing new and innovative solutions like our MicroConnect to market, which will help them resolve the capacity bottlenecks in their metro core infrastructure. A long-anticipated upgrade cycle has started, and more flexibility, ease of use, and cost efficiency in the optical layer will help carriers gain the much-needed efficiency and agility in this mission-critical part of the network. With our One Network Edge solutions, we have completely upgraded all of our carrier Ethernet portfolio. Presently, we are seeing more RFP activity than at any time in the last 5 years. This market segment remains very competitive, but having state-of-the-art technology platforms combined with our global leadership within the carrier Ethernet segment allows for us to win new footprint and drive further innovation. Now looking at the fourth bullet, Ensemble. The strategic reason for our Overture acquisition in early 2016 is now enabling us to win leading customers. We will be announcing our first U.S. Tier 1 account soon, but we have now won a handful of accounts with more than 20 POCs, field trials, and outstanding RFP decisions in process, which can help us move from the initial stage of a future multi-billion dollar opportunity into the second stage where revenues begin to flow. Our investments in this portfolio will return investment capital to our shareholders in 2018. For NFV, 2017 is a year where we will continue to invest and win many new customers. We are one of the global leaders in this space and offer more choice, a better ecosystem, and an architecture which works. My personal view is that we have little competition from the product side of things, but politics will prevent us from winning all the RFPs. Nonetheless, we will win many. And finally, we have spent the better part of the last 2 years upgrading the entire OscilloQuartz architecture. We are winning new footprint each month. We plan on moving from an investment mode to a driving returns for shareholder mode in 2017. With all this new technology, we are more competitive than ever. We are connecting, extending, and assuring the cloud, while video, mobility, and new applications continue to keep our industry expanding and exciting. And with this, I would now like to pass up to Uli, who will cover our financial performance. Thank you, Uli.
Thank you, Brian. And hello, everybody. Let us start with the financial highlights for Q4 2016 according to IFRS. The pro forma numbers presented here are calculated prior to non-cash charges related to stock-based compensation and amortization and impairment of goodwill and acquisition-related intangible assets. Unless stated otherwise, all numbers are presented in euro. Let's move to slide 9, please. IFRS quarterly revenue and pro forma profitability. As already stated, we ended Q4 2016 with revenues of 128 million euros, representing Adler's strongest Q4 ever. This result is at the lower half of our revenue guidance range of 125 and 140 million euros and still represents a 14.6% increase year over year. Again, this marks the 12th consecutive quarter with year-on-year growth. The year-on-year increase in revenues was mainly driven by the continued push for 100G in metro and regional networks. The revenue contribution of the ICP segment was lower than in the previous quarters. This explains the corresponding decrease compared to Q3. However, this mix shift also drove the significantly higher gross profit margin of 33.1% of revenues. Pro forma operating income in Q4 2016 was at 9 million euros, or 7% of revenues. This is at the top end of our guidance of between 4 and 7% of revenues and compares to 8.1% in Q4 2015. Let's move on to the next slide, please. IFRS annual revenues and pro forma profitability. We ended 2016 with a record high in revenues of 566.7 million euros. In 2016, pro forma gross margin at 29.7% came in lower than the 35.6% achieved in 2015. As already stated in previous calls, our profitability was mainly impacted by two factors. First, the large portion of lower margin ICP business, and second, the weakening of the British pound after the Brexit vote in June 2016. Pro forma operating income in 2016 was at 23.4 million euros, or 4.1% of revenues. This compares to 30 million euros in 2015, or 6.8% of revenues. The decrease in profitability also reflects one-time integration costs for our Overture acquisition, especially in the first half of the year. It is important to note that without the above-mentioned currency impact, our pro forma operating income in absolute terms would have been higher than in 2015. Next slide, please. IFRS profitability below the pro forma operating income line. In Q4 2016, IFRS operating income was at 8.1 million euros or 6.3% of revenues, up from 7.5 million or 6.7% in Q4 2015. Key driver for this development are lower compensation expenses, partially offset by higher amortization of intangibles from acquisition. Our Q4 2016 net income was at 13.6 million euros or 10.6% of revenues. This result was impacted by positive FX effects caused by the strengthening dollar at the end of December. The Q4 tax benefit predominantly results from the recognition of tax loss carryforwards, especially in Europe. For the full year 2016, our net income was at 21.5 million euros. As the number of weighted average shares outstanding has not changed significantly, diluted EPS developed in proportion with IFRS net income to 27 cents per share. Next slide, slide number 12, quarterly revenues per region. due to the seasonality in ICP business in the Americas and the strong business in EMEA, EMEA returned to be the strongest region with an ATWA in Q4 2016. EMEA recorded revenues of 65.8 million euros, a 14 million increase from the 52.2 million in the previous quarter, and representing 51% of our total revenues. After a very strong Q2 and Q3 in the Americas, a temporary weakening in the ICP sales resulted in lower revenues in Q4. Still, the 52.3 million euros achieved in Q4 2016 represents a 44% increase compared to the 36.2 million euros we saw in Q4 2015. Asia Pacific revenues were at 9.9 million or 8% of sales, which represents a 5% increase year over year. Next slide, please. Annual revenues per region. This slide shows the strong development of revenues from 2013 to 2016, reflecting an 82% growth within 3 years. While the regional split remained relatively stable in 2013 to 2015, the Americas accelerated in 2016, now representing nearly half of our annual revenues. It is important to point out that EMEA includes all of Europe, Middle East, and Africa. The good performance of Central Europe was offset by weaker revenue developments in the other subregions. Furthermore, close to one-third of the EMEA revenues was impacted by the weakness of the British pound following the Brexit. APEC remains a small but stable source of revenues with a 6% revenue share. Next slide, please. IFRS balance sheet. Cash remains strong at 84.9 million euros, bringing net liquidity up to 25.5 million. Overall net working capital of 98 million remains stable compared to the 96.6 million reported at the end of Q3. This is slightly below the 99.6 million euros at the end of 2015. The lower revenues in Q4 result in a decrease of our trade accounts receivables to 78.5 million compared to 112.1 million at the end of Q3. DSOs increased slightly to 68.5 days. Inventories increased at December 2016 to 92.8 million, mainly caused by the timing of orders. If you recall it, we always said we either hit the higher end of our revenue guidance or the lower end of our revenue guidance. And as a result, we ended up at the lower end of the revenue guidance, but the result was that the inventories came in a little higher. Trade accounts payables of 73.3 million decreased from 87.7 million in the previous quarter. However, driven by lower COGS, DPOs increased to 85.9 days. Stockholders' equity of 238.9 million is slightly up from 220.6 million versus the end of last quarter. We continue to maintain a strong equity ratio of close to 50%. Next slide, please. IFRS consolidated cash flow. Cash flow from operating activities amounted to 21.2 million euros, up from the 10.7 million euros reported in Q4 2015, and also up from the 15.7 million euros reported in Q3 2016. The increase from Q3 to Q4 was mainly driven by net income. Cash flow used for investing activities is slightly higher than historic levels, reflecting our investments in future technologies. Cash flow from financing activities in Q4 2016 was at negative 1.7 million, mainly consisting of servicing existing loans. Accordingly, free cash flow came in at 16.4 million versus 8.1 million reported in the prior year quarter. Now, I would like to share our guidance for Q1 2017. Next slide, please. We are committed to improving visibility and predictability of our business. As in the past, we will continue to provide projections for the current quarter only. Market growth drivers continue to be intact. Cloud and mobility continue to drive data center builds and expansions, thus driving demand for more interconnect capacity. Our long-term growth drivers and growth prospects continue to be strong. As previously communicated, there are both risks and opportunities in realizing revenue, particularly in the infrastructure business. We remain committed to a flexible cost and operating model that allows us to quickly adapt to changing market conditions. We will continue to drive operational efficiencies within all facets of the organization. We consequently project Q1 2017 revenues of between 135 and 145 million euros, with pro forma operating income to range between 3 and 5% of revenue. We will continue to perform detailed reviews of the expected business development in respect of all intangible assets, including capitalized development projects. In case of highly adverse business prospects, such a review may result in non-cash impairment charges in Q1 2017 and beyond. The pro forma operating income guidance we have provided today excludes any such potential impairment charges. With that, I'd like to summarize today's call. Slide 17. Our strong top-line growth continues, and we will continue to outperform the market. We have indication that the metro core upgrade cycle is picking up, a part of carrier infrastructure that we address well. Q4 has already shown that we are returning to better profitability levels. The customer and product mix is healthy, with the FSP 3000 Cloud Connect ramping and our higher-margin products contributing well to the overall mix. Network function virtualization, NFV, continues to be the hot topic in our industry and disrupts the service delivery model for communication service providers. Innovation is more important than ever. We have built thought leadership in this space through Ensemble, our strategic division focused on network function virtualization. With Ensemble, we are now in more than 20 active customer engagements with carriers around the globe. Ensemble also opens doors for other innovative solutions we are offering to the market. Overall, our broader solution offering and ability to innovate brings traction in new accounts. Thank you all for your participation in today's call. And with that, I'd like to return the call back to the operator to begin the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Oliver Pecker. Your line is now open.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot for taking my questions. My first question is for Brian. On the Cloud Connect, can you give us the revenue figure for Q4 and maybe also an outlook for Q1 and 2017 in terms of revenues? And also, what has the customer feedback been so far for the first deliveries?
So revenue figures, we said low millions of revenue. That happened. What we did announce is double-digit millions of orders. Now, in Q1, it really depends on our ability to ramp manufacturing from a couple million into double digits. I would imagine, and what we had originally said is, you know, high single digits, low double-digit millions in Q1. If things go well, if things don't go so well, they might be a little bit less than that in the mid-single digits. I think we're getting our hands around those things, as mentioned in my presentation piece.
Okay, got it. And maybe on the margin side of the Cloud Connect, do you already see an improvement from the Cloud Connect in terms of margins with the first delivery, or do you need a certain scale to see a positive margin development in the ICP space?
In general, margins are fine, but yes, with scales, you get the really big difference. So it's a much more cost-effective product for 100G than our old products, a matter of factors. So it's going to give us good margins, but scale is very important. The beginning of a product launch, it takes some time to really get those cost efficiencies.
Okay, and maybe on the ICP business in general, in Q4, the revenue share of ICP customers was obviously significantly lower than 25%. So what revenue share can we expect for 2017?
Well, it's a fast-moving market. I think, you know, we've won a major ICP with our new architecture. You know, we continually get surprised by orders all along, very hard to forecast. And therefore, you know, I'm going to give you a range. I'm going to say that it's going to be between, 12 and 30. But, you know, likely, 25 was a very strong year. You know, that's what we'd love to shoot for. but it is very, it is not easily plannable. They're fast-moving organizations making rapid decisions, making decisions for, you know, pieces of architectures or features, and then changing their mind quickly because they can. You know, small teams, very flexible, very technology-driven, moving rapidly, and therefore it is they can't forecast like that. Therefore, we can't forecast either.
Okay, got it. And maybe on the guidance. So the range of the margin guidance is lower than in the previous quarters, with around 200 basis points. So before we always saw a range of 300 to 400 basis points. So what did change that now you seem to have a higher visibility on the margin side?
Well, we just feel, this is Uli, we just feel comfortable that we can achieve that, that we will be in that range, and that's why we felt, you know, we wanted to give you that feedback as well, that we are confident with that range, and that's why we narrowed it again, as we did with the revenue range. We increased the revenue range for Q4 due to the volatility of the ICP segment, and now we decreased it again to 10 million.
Yes. And is there any specific reason why you have a higher confidence more narrow range?
It's very simple because we are already halfway through the quarter, whereas in other quarters we are only one month through the quarter basically.
Okay, got it. Then maybe a couple of questions for Uli. So you mentioned during the call that there was a strong negative FX effect on the EBIT margin level in Q4 due to the stronger US dollar. So,
this was for the whole year. Statement.
Yes, but if let's say just talk about Q4. So,
okay.
how much of this 4.8 million that you show in Q4 in the other financial gains and losses? How much could we add? Let's say if we assume a flat US dollar.
So this is a good question because it's definitely not the complete 4.8 because it applies for other quarters as well. And as you know, this is consists of realized gains and unrealized gains.
Yes.
But
yes.
I would give a rough range of 1 to 2 million, maybe in this this range.
Okay. So the underlying
maybe even higher, maybe even a little higher.
Okay. So the underlying EBIT margin, so to speak, would have been significantly higher.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's safe to say.
There may be a housekeeping question on overdue. So what was the revenue contribution in Q4? Was it, again, around 10 million?
Overdue revenue contribution, was a little higher than 10 million.
Okay. And also maybe looking at your annual report, so there was a release of provisions of 3.3 million in 2016 with a positive effect. So what is the story behind that?
There are multiple effects. So there is one that we have had accrued a couple of years ago for a customer who went bankrupt. We could reverse this accrual. Then we have an accrual that was related to the earnout of the Overture business. So we did not achieve the earnout or the levels that were based on or for the or necessary to get the earnout. So we could release this one as well. And then a few minor things.
Okay, great. Then maybe last question from my side on the gross margin. So we saw a strong increase in Q4 versus Q3. Gross margin was up 620 basis points. So what are the key reasons for the very strong development?
It's basically a shift in customer mix and products. That's it. I mean, you have less ICP portion, and that's why the other customer segments like enterprise the impact is higher.
Okay. So the main reason is basically a lower revenue share from ICP?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have no further questions for the moment. As a reminder, press 01 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. We received another question from Mr. Robin Brach. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, and thank you for taking my question. I have a question concerning also the Cloud Connect business, especially for Q1 now. I guess there was some orders that came in Q1 or they were expected in Q4. But are those driving down the margin in Q1? And how is your expectations also for the upcoming year? How much the margin will be positively or negatively affected by Cloud Connect?
So the orders that we got in Q4, Again, we believe that the Cloud Connect is much more effective in the applications that it addresses, so that we will get better average margins. The reason for lower margins in 2016 were we were selling older technology, addressing, you know, existing competitors and addressing customers' opportunities that drove the average margins down. We think with the Cloud Connect, we're much better positioned. But let's, you know, be honest, it's a continual rat race of driving newer technologies, better costing as the bandwidth demands increase. So we are comfortable with the statements we've always made that Cloud Connect will help us to expand our margins. The orders that we're getting from many different customers are, you know, good rock solid business because we have a state-of-the-art technology platform that allows us to price accordingly. So no news, all positive. Continue to roll out. I think the only thing that's new, you know, was new was 3 months ago on our last calls, or a little bit longer, 4 months ago when we had said we're a month, you know, a quarter behind, kind of evolving. But I think we have everything under control and all is good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rob Sanders of Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just had a question around Cloud Connect. You seem to be moving to a modular approach here rather than the previous approach with the FSP 3000 where you used a solution from Acacia. It seems like you're using this modular approach now using internally developed components. I was just wondering what that does that affect your uncertainty level around the ramp of Cloud Connect? That would be my first question. And secondly, just on the FSP 3000, how fast will this FSP 3000 revenue contribution ramp down as you ramp Cloud Connect up? Or maybe it doesn't at all. Third question would just be on the level of pricing aggression you're seeing from the Chinese. I remember in the first half last year you talked about them being quite aggressive in Europe. And then lastly would just be, you said in the past you're shipping to 4 of the top 10 cloud guys. I was just wondering if in your order book you were still seeing 4 of the top 10, or if you managed to get that upwards from where you are today. Thank you.
Has your question been answered?
So the first one, the first part of the question, I was on mute, sorry. The first part of the question was the modular. Yes, the Cloud Connect is a part of our FSP 3000 architecture. We have a hybrid model. It can be used in very smooth transformation for ADVA. All our customers can take it in. You can manage it with our network manager. You can integrate it. Yet on the other side, it's a holistically new platform, which can be a standalone architecture with brand new capabilities, all sorts of new software capabilities, et cetera. So I think we spent a lot of time and energy developing the product, and it's an FSP 3000. So when you say, you know, how it ramps, Cloud Connect is just one part of the 3000 architecture. And yes, as people move more to the 100 gig layer, you'll have more and more Cloud Connect being purchased. So it'll be a very smooth transformation. The modular piece is, though, when you say modular, yes, we're not going to design our own DSPs. We still believe in the merchant chip concept. And that means that we will partner with the leading company in that space. And our people picked Acacia very early in the last round because we did due diligence and felt that the chip and capabilities of the team were outstanding. And they met our expectations. We were able to go to market with them and be very competitive. Remember, they have, you know, we're spending $100 million in R&D. They're spending $100 million plus in R&D. It's a very strong partnership. Yet there are other people that are spending money. So there are new companies entering there, or acquisitions happening in that space, and we have to see who the leader is. But we do believe in the merchant piece. So no risk of us developing our own DSPs and not meeting timelines. So we feel very comfortable with the timelines. from a competitive landscape, the Chinese, they come and go. They're big and strong and have lots of financing support, and therefore they can always rear their heads and get very aggressive. We don't see them, though, methodically trying to change the market on a pricing structure, and we haven't seen that for multiple years. So it comes and goes depending on which customer, which RFP, and how strategic it is for a Chinese vendor. Having said that, we are one of two vendors, with the Chinese vendor being the other, in many of our accounts, in many of our tier one accounts. So we don't see any change there. You know, they get a part of the business, we get a part of the business. So I'm not sure if I answered all the questions, but I think I covered most of them.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Actually, the last, just a follow-up, and then there was one question you missed, which was a follow-up would just be, you talked about, I wasn't talking about the coherent DSP merchant solutions that you would develop them in-house, but the other components around that. But, I mean, how do you see Allen Clarify, for example? Do you see them as more credible now than they were, given that clearly, you know, Acacia's IPO and success has grabbed a lot of attention? And then just the other question you didn't answer was, yet at least, was four of the top 10. Previously you'd said you were shipping into four of the top 10 cloud service providers. You know, in your order book today, have you managed to get that number up from four? That would be great. Thanks.
So the you were referring out to the DSP then the kind of the optical gold box kind of approach. Well, we will partner with, again, they're the leading company there, so no risk. We do design our products differently than other people, and we look at things like, you know, integration, heat management, and all sorts of issues when we address how we're going to design our products. And therefore, if, you know, Acacia's the leading provider of that optical gold box, or somebody else is, we will partner with the person who's leading. I think we have excellent relationships with all of the suppliers in that space. So it's really about performance. And Clarify being bought by Inphi and having a stronger balance sheet and a publicly listed company makes them a more viable competitor. Yet I'm not sure that they will necessarily really focus on the same things going forward. Let's see how that evolves. I think, you know, ADFA is very open-minded. Clearly, we're loyal. We support our suppliers wherever possible, but we are going to move to work with the merchant provider that has the best price performance, and that will allow us to differentiate ourselves from in-house developments out there. So I think it's a good thing for the industry. There's more competition, but it doesn't mean that, you know, that there's necessarily a shift in competitive metrics out there. That's really dependent on execution of those companies themselves. And the first thing, I think four of the top 10, you said ICPs the first time around, and now you said CSPs. So you were referring to
Please
ICPs.
Hold.
You were referring to ICPs. Is that correct? Hello?
Mr. Sanders, can you hear us? I think Mr. Sanders can no longer hear us.
Sorry. I got... Could you just repeat, Brian, the last point? Sorry, my apologies.
The last piece was you said 4 of 10. I think the first time you had mentioned ICPs, but on the last time when you restated the question, you said CSPs.
I'm thinking about the Amazon, Facebook, Googles. I mean, the terminology you use, I think, is ICP for Internet Content Providers, but I mean, I'm thinking of whatever you call Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple, et cetera.
So the large ones. I would say we're pretty stable as far as from a customer base right now, but we are, you know, attacking and looking at positioning ourselves in other footprint. But step by step, I think we feel very good about different products, in fact, not always the Cloud Connect, but in fact different products in different applications. So it's a big market segment. We will continue to address it, and we think we can continue to build opportunity there.
Got it. And are any of those big guys more than 10% customers today?
Yeah, Q4 and Q1, Uli.
If you look at, if I would look on an annualized basis, and then I would say yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the question answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tim Zavager. Your line is now open.
Hi. Good morning. At least from my perspective. And congratulations on both strong guidance going forward as well as the bottom line execution. I had a couple questions about the quarter and the outlook. First, with regard to to Q4, you did see quite a bounce back in EMEA and in Germany in particular. I wonder if you could characterize that from a product line standpoint. Is that, you know, infrastructure heading into the carrier market in Europe, sort of in the kind of metro 100 gig area, or sometimes in some cases we've seen cloud guys extending into Europe as well? I wonder if you could give us a little more color about your strength in EMEA in Q4.
So since the cloud guys buy very centralized approaches, and not they are not always transparent on where the products go, we do centralize that in the North America piece. So it's not that ICP driving that European business. I think we have actual breadth in enterprise, in carriers across the board. And, you know, we said that in going into the quarter, Q4, we said we feel that Europe's coming back for us after a slow period and that we think it's going to last a bit. So because of the breadth, we've won some new footprint combined with existing customers bringing on and some of them having waited for our new architecture. Remember, we not only introduced the FC 2000 Cloud Connect, but we've upgraded all of our carrier Ethernet products. We've upgraded our OscilloQuartz products, as already indicated, and are also adding pieces like our MicroConnect. So continually bringing in new products, and sometimes people wait for the next and greatest technology. So we feel, you know, pretty good about the breadth of business right now in EMEA. But, you know, who knows? We've been in the industry long enough that things go and change, but the tide is coming in for us right now.
Yes, and thanks for that reminder, Brian. On Q1 guidance, given what we typically see again in the EMEA region, which is, you know, pretty sharp seasonal declines, I imagine in order to guide kind of nearly, you know, up 10% sequential as you're doing for Q1, that the real, you know, any European seasonality is likely being more than offset by a bounce back in U.S. cloud business, kind of in line with seasonality there. Is that a fair way to look at the puts and takes of your top-line guidance for Q1?
No, not necessarily. I'll let Uli maybe add some flavor there, but I think we feel that we have very nice breadth, and we, you know, said last time around, we feel that margin expansion, I think Uli in his presentation today indicated that as well, and clearly the ICPs are... Revenue is great, but margins are always very challenged. So when we gave the you know our forecast, and both if you look at from a revenue perspective and if you look at relative profitability, Q1 2017 forecast to Q1 2016, it's quite good. So I would say breadth across the board is giving us confidence moving into Q1, or moving through Q1. Comments?
Yeah, I would just add that because I guess the Europe question is interesting. Europe will be strong in Q1. Will remain strong in Q1.
Okay. I want to shift over to the kind of inventory question. I think it's notable that that you built inventory pretty substantially despite the decline in revenues. I imagine that speaks to pretty strong orders in the quarter. But if you can discuss kind of overall component and technology availability, and assuming that is your primary manufacturing constraint that you referenced, or, you know, please let me know if there are others, and particularly around 400 gig or 2x200 gig availability. Does that remain kind of a gating factor for the Cloud Connect? Was that the real key driver of the inventory ramp there?
So do you want to take that, or do you want me to take it?
You can take it, and I can add something.
Okay. So in general, from a Cloud Connect, I think from the inventory ramp is more ready for some large customers, and specifically ICPs. We had mentioned that in Q4 we had, you know, seasonally less business from that market segment. So, you know, and we were prepared. We've got the, you know, it's all 100G type of business. The issue with the 200 gig waves and or other newer technologies, I think we're making good progress. Some of the things have taken longer than expected from both, you know, our own engineering, but also specifically some of our suppliers there. So, but I don't think that's the fundamental issue there. No, it's not. It's not a big technology challenge at this point. I think we're moving forward, rocking forward. No risks there. And inventory, I think we have very much under control, and you'll see us, you know, manage inventory effectively from a Q1 perspective.
Yeah, I guess if I may, I would add that for certain components, maybe the lead times are a little longer than we're used to, and that's why we just have to account for that in order to maintain the flexibility and to fulfill orders quickly. That's why we increased some for some components the inventory levels as well.
Got it. That makes sense. And then I'll close by trying to kind of take all these puts and takes. Your relative strength in Europe, but looking like a building pipeline, to replenish cloud, along with your commentary about Ethernet access RFPs and relative strength there, I guess most of the, and the Cloud Connect ramp, most of this sounds kind of accretive to gross margins, maybe not from Q4 levels, but for fiscal year 16 levels. It sounds like you have potentially a number of margin tailwinds and reasons to believe that gross margins ought to expand in 2017. Is that a fair thing to say?
Very much a fair thing to say. I think that's what we've been stating. When you really look back at 2016, I mean, it was a great revenue growth, came from mostly from one segment. The market was slow in multiple different areas and regions, and we do feel over the past 6 months that things have strengthened for us. We're still, trying to understand, is that customer specific? I mean, sorry, is it company specific or is it the industry as a whole? But the breadth of things that we're working on, and the, we spent a huge amount of money in technology and not just in optical. A number of those things are slowly evolving. And yes, the concept of better margins off of some of these other opportunities is absolutely there. So knock on wood, we feel good about right now on the statements that we made 4 months ago on our last call about, expanding gross margins. And let's just hope that moves through the whole year like we are at this point.
Great. And if I could, sneak one more in. And this really has to do with, the extraordinary growth that you saw in the U.S. in 2016. I mean, I guess, do you feel like it's possible to grow in 2017 from those levels, given that sort of extreme degree of strength?
So now from a revenue perspective, from a margin perspective, I think we can expand our margins. From a revenue perspective, relative to revenue, to sales revenues, we got to see. That's why I say it's all over the map. You don't really know, because planning is much different in this very fast-lived space. And therefore, we don't want to hang that out there too much. We haven't been saying that we're going to grow 30% this year. What we've been saying is that, we believe that we can outgrow the markets nicely this year. You see Q1 coming in at, midpoint at 15%. And therefore, it could be anywhere from 12 to 30, really depending on, how much of the pieces we get, how we're successfully moving our new architectures, how people spend. We do believe the spending will continue strong in that space, but there's so many variables. I don't think we can make that statement at this point, say this is exactly what it's going to be. And so I guess I go back to the 12 to 30. We're hoping for a nice growth in that market segment. Having said that, from a profitability perspective, there are many other segments that will help our profitability a lot more, and those segments are healthy right now.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep going here, but I took the 12 to 30 to be an answer to a question about percentage of revenues out of ICPs. Was that a growth rate range instead?
No, that was a range of revenues, because if we, and remember, we as a company are growing, so that could mean major growth, and that could be not declining growth. That's what we're saying, is that we can't commit to that. We can't commit to one or other. Looking at Q4 was lighter all of a sun.
Yep.
But things are moving forward again, you know, things keep coming. So we really need to see where we end up there. And I don't want to create expectations out there in the shareholder base that this, you know, that's where it's going to be. But we feel comfortable and we're hoping for growth. That's what we're moving for. That's what we're focused on. And I think there's that opportunity as well.
Yeah, no, that's understood. Anywhere from 12 to 30 would be fine. And congrats once again on the results.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Maura Gabrero from One Investments. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. Can you please share with us where do you stand in terms of 3,000 Cloud Connect ramp up? At the previous conference call, you mentioned that you were facing some issues with the supply chain. So I was wondering if that's still the case or that has been sorted out. That's the first question.
So we feel fine. I mean, supply chain in general is very tight. And that's why, you know, one of the things Uli said about our inventory is that we've gone to be a little bit more aggressive. But, you know, does that continue or not? That's really dependent on the strength of the market as a whole. From a Cloud Connect and technology perspective, I think I answered that already, and that was, no, we don't see anything standing in our way at this point where there's any technology risk around the Cloud Connect. And then I think I answered the other questions about where we were at. We did revenues in Q4. We booked double-digit millions of orders. We, you know, as we ramp, we would be expecting, you know, high single digits for Q1. Could be, you know, mid single digits kind of thing. It could be more. But there's nothing fundamental about that. Also, you know, some of it is just scaling. When you're moving something from a few millions to double digit millions to mid double digit millions takes time and energy, etc. So no risks there.
Okay. And then regarding Europe, have you made a comment on EMEA regarding the first quarter? But can you maybe give us a sense of what you are expecting for the full year as a whole after just coming back from a slowdown in 2016 in terms of revenues? I mean, are you expecting that this, let's say, positive trend of Q1 to continue or not?
I guess we can say without, we're not giving a guidance here, but I guess we see a good signs that that the market is strengthening in Europe.
Okay. And when you're saying that, I mean, that means that that's overall, I mean, in the sense that developed countries were more than offset any sort of weakness still remaining in the emerging part of Europe.
Yes, probably.
Okay.
We see a very strong enterprise business in Europe, and we also see an uptick in the carrier segment. So, and hopefully this can offset the weakness in the emerging markets. But you also have some opportunities in the emerging markets. It's just a more project-driven, and it's a win or lose type of thing.
Okay. And the final question,
and
if I may.
Maybe one other thing is that we don't expect the pound to get so much weaker.
Okay. So you've reached, let's say that what we've seen is the bottom. Can we say that?
Well, I don't know about the pound. I'm just saying the other factor that hurt us in 2016 is we're very strong in the pound region, and the pound got a lot weaker, hurting both our revenues and our profitability of that sector. We don't see that getting that much weaker. Could it get weaker? Yes, it could, but I don't think at the same rate. Could it get stronger? Yes, it could. But I think that exposure is a much less this year in 2017 than in 16.
Sure. And on Auteur, can you maybe tell us something about the performance in 2017? You've mentioned about potential cross-selling. So what sort of growth rate shall we pencil in, please?
For cross-selling, we haven't given any of those that data. We don't want to get too granular here and have too many.
I didn't mean that. You mentioned a number, or you are committed on a number, but you said that there were some opportunities and there are some opportunities. So, I was wondering if you can share a little bit more color on Auteur in 2017, please.
Okay, so we have really a number of cross-selling possibilities at this point. That is optical into carrier ethernet into optical. But we also have sync and timing, as well as our ensemble architecture. And when you see, surprisingly enough, we're winning new footprint with the sync and timing business. There's really only two architectures out there that are good. So we're winning new footprint, big customers, which allows us to have a contract in place, have relationships, and allows us to go push it for other solutions. And the same goes for Ensemble, is that we're winning some, new types of customers that we wouldn't address for carrier ethernet optical and or for even sync and timing. And therefore, cross-selling is something that we're focused on. And in fact, even in our sales strategy, it's a very large focus of ADSA to say we should be able to leverage contracts that we have with customers to be able to push in our other new and very competitive architectures, product portfolio pieces. So that's why we mentioned it today. As we said, that's one of our focuses in sales. And we think because we have everything is new in our product portfolio that we can very aggressively compete to win cross-selling initiatives or opportunities footprints.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions at the moment. As a reminder, press 01 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question.
Okay, well, that's actually 1 hour. There are no other further questions, Oli.
We received another question, actually.
Okay.
From Alex. Please introduce yourself. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Alex Durbis with Gilder, Gagnon, Howe & Company. Thanks so much for taking my call. I was interested in your perspective on the relative performance of discrete components versus silicon photonics as you're developing these modules in-house, and how you see the trade-offs in terms of cost and performance there.
So I guess you have to promise that you're also investing in ADVA, not just in our supply chain.
We've met most recently at the Needham conference, and yes, we are investors.
Good. So my view, I was just joking. Of course, I'm going to answer the question nonetheless. So discrete versus kind of silicon photonics and modules. So I guess we are very flexible as an organization, ADVA. We see advantages in some designs to go discrete and others where we see we're the gold box, where we take everything. I think that we have it's a price performance issue for us, number one. And number two, sometimes what I'd mentioned earlier, it's like a density scalability where we feel that we can build something differently by, let's say, going discrete or using a certain kind of module. So in general, I would think there is more of a movement in our industry to kind of the modular approach, gold boxes, silicon photonics, integrated architectures. That is happening, but it's not always the best fit, best solution. So I wouldn't say we're not religious about it. We're going to go take the best solution with the best performance, and we work with all of the players. We track, we have relationships with all the suppliers, and we're going to use what's best at the right pricing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There are no further questions at the moment. I hand back to the speakers.
Thank you. I guess we should conclude the call then, right, Stefan? Thanks, everybody, for joining, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.